First, the opioid crisis has reached such a critical level throughout the country that a recent task force urged President Trump to declare a state of emergency. When the president addressed the issue, he argued that the best course of action was to make sure that these drugs don't make it to the street.
Wisconsin has been among the states hit particularly hard by the epidemic. According to statistics from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, 614 people died in 2015 as a result of an opioid overdose. And the Milwaukee Medical Examiner's Office says that they've seen a 38% increase in deaths this year compared to this time last year.
Dr. Mike Miller is the medical director of the Harrington Recovery Center at Rogers Memorial Hospital in Oconomowoc, and he's with us now to talk about opioids, addiction, and the impact it has had on communities in Wisconsin. Dr. Miller, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's very nice for you to ask me back.
Well, we know that the opioid epidemic has been a nationwide issue, but could you focus now and paint a picture on what the problem has done, what it looks like here in Wisconsin?
Well, what it looks like here is that, we've frequently said that addiction is sort of an equal opportunity condition. There's a famous poster from years back with a picture of 30 different individuals of all ages, genders, colors, and it says this is the picture of an alcoholic. That's an old concept. But really, the opioid epidemic has hit every community in the nation. Large and small, rural probably even more than urban. Certainly it's not a non-white condition. It's a strongly, I would say that it fits the demographics of whatever community it's in. It's in Native American communities, it's in Hispanic American communities, it's in European American communities, it's in all communities. And the problem with this epidemic, it's not the epidemic overall is not something you're going to stop at the borders, because the starting drug for so many people, now this may be changing a bit just very recently, but the starting drug for opioid addiction is prescription drugs, where it's manufactured in a pharmaceutical house in the United States. It originates with a legal prescription written for a patient by a doctor or nurse or dentist or someone who has prescribing authority. It's diverted, and it's used non-medically when people don't have pain, and it's used for euphoria or relief for someone who has addiction. And interdiction at the borders isn't going to work, because it starts with pharmaceuticals, and locking people up isn't going to really help. So you're not going to solve problems by incarceration, and the legal system knows that. It's going to have to be dealt with by treatment and prevention. So the thing that's different about this epidemic than the others is the lethality of the product from a single use, from the first use of your life. And again, that's not just because of that doesn't happen usually with pharmaceuticals. Usually people don't take a pill, even snorting it or even shooting it up in a dose to kill themselves with their very first use. That's not the usual thing. What people are dying of is the adulterants in heroin. Now, we could go into detail about how these adulterants, these fentanyl analogs like carfentanil and sufentanil, these various fentanyl cousins that are synthesized often overseas, actually can be brought in as a powder and put into a pill press and made to look like a tablet of almost anything. But in general, it's not appearing in something that people would buy on the street or get it from a friend as a tablet that they think is a painkiller. It would be from a bag of something they thought was heroin. And it's laced with these products that are very, very potent and very, very lethal. So that's what's happening now, and this is why it's getting so much attention. The medical examiners, the coroners are seeing these deaths, the rates of deaths. It's just gotten to be ridiculous. And one of the reasons that the president's commission that he put together chaired by Governor Christie, said that it should be declared a national emergency.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit and get at some of the news from yesterday. President Trump disagrees with you, as some of what you said there. He is looking to stop opioids from coming over the border, and he says abstinence or prevention is the key. Here's a little bit of what he said.
The best way to prevent drug addiction and overdose is to prevent people from abusing drugs in the first place. If they don't start, they won't have a problem. If they do start, it's awfully tough to get off.
Now, there's the president's response. You said you disagree with that, Dr. Miller. Tell us why.
Yeah, I do. And I was going to finish my sentence, and I just forgot where it was going because I was almost done. I know I spoke quite a bit. But the reason that the commission declared it a national emergency, and I think the reason they declared the opioid problem a national emergency is because it affects every community and because of the deaths. Now, getting on to the president, it was quite disappointing to me to hear the way he conceptualized this. He didn't even invite Governor Christie to meet with him and Secretary Price, and didn't include Governor Christie in the press conference held in Governor Christie's own state. It just seemed very odd that he convenes this group, this task force or this special group, and then doesn't even honor it enough to involve it in his discussions yesterday. And then at the press conference, the things he was saying almost weren't complete sentences, and they talked about concepts that are basically just say no, like Nancy Reagan and her husband said. And it just shows a profound ignorance of what addiction is and what needs to be done to address it. Just say no hasn't worked for anything, and you need to have a comprehensive approach of evidence-based prevention strategies. You need to have treatment available for opioid addiction. You need to have better treatment available for pain. If this problem was easy to fix, we would have fixed it several years ago. It's really complicated, and it's going to continue to require a multi-pronged approach in communities. And so many communities are doing things very constructively to address it. But the president's remarks didn't give me much confidence that there will be federal policy, at least coming from the White House, that will be truly effective to go forward.
Now, you said that the number of deaths that we've seen from the opioid epidemic might be reason enough to call the national emergency. What kinds of mechanisms would get swinging into action if a national emergency were to be declared?
Well, I believe you and me both know, and your listeners know, that if something is declared a national emergency and then other action doesn't follow, then who the heck bothers that it was declared anything? So the declaration is not the key issue. The key issue is to have multiple types of policies to try to address the issue, and one of them is better access to treatment. The other is better access to medications that block opioid receptors so people can't overdose. The other is better access to naloxone to reverse overdoses. Another actually is improved education of the general public and prescribers of the unique dangers of mixing sedative drugs like benzodiazepines with the Ativan, Valium, Xanax, things of those pharmaceuticals of those families with opioids, because that really does increase lethality, and we need to understand that better. But from a clinical perspective that I have, you certainly see that, and so it is complicated. But when people overdose, you need to revive them, and we need to have the Good Samaritan laws that we have passed in this state, saying that if someone calls in 911 and an overdose, that first responders come and the police are not right there to arrest people for possession charges. We need to not have legal issues that dissuade people from calling 911 when there's a medical emergency. So we need to have the person survive to truly live another day, hopefully get into counseling, get the help they need, get the medications they need. So overdose reversal is important. Having medication treatment, and the medications are naltrexone, which blocks the opioid receptor purely, or methadone and buprenorphine, which block it in different ways than a pure antagonist. But having people on medication that will reduce the chance of them actually having coma or death if they do use opioids, that's important too. Addiction treatment availability in the private sector and the public sector, all these things are really important. And one of the most important things, and I talked about this the last time I was on your program, was we need to make sure that we preserve the Affordable Care Act and the Mental Health Parity and Addiction Equity Act, one signed by President Obama, the previous one by President George W. Bush, to make sure that we have private sector insurance vehicles and Medicaid to pay for addiction treatment, and we don't have some of the things coming out of the current Congress of repeal and replace, which would throw tens of millions of people off of insurance and reduce their access to necessary addiction treatment.
And we're talking to Dr. Mike Miller right now about the opioid crisis in Wisconsin and also the rest of the country. He's the medical director of the Harrington Recovery Center at Rogers Memorial Hospital in Oconomowoc.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about what you're hearing from President Trump on the opioid crisis? Have you, your friends, your family been affected by this opioid crisis? What is happening in your part of the state? Are you hoping to see more access to treatment or more of a criminal justice approach, a tough-on-crime approach? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll continue our conversation in a little bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our conversation about the opioid crisis and also the government's response to addressing that issue with Dr. Mike Miller. He's the medical director of the Harrington Recovery Center at Rogers Memorial Hospital in Oconomowoc.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think should be done to turn the tide on the opioid epidemic in the United States and here in Wisconsin? How has it impacted your community? Is this a story for you, for your friends and family? If you work in public health or similar fields, how would you like to see the opioid crisis dealt with? And what are you seeing in your clinic or as a first responder? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Dr. Miller, rural Wisconsin, as you said, has been hit especially hard here in Wisconsin by the opioid crisis. What is happening in rural Wisconsin that makes it particularly vulnerable to this?
Well, that's a very challenging question that has to do with anthropology and economics, and some people think it has to do with just opportunities, economic opportunities. People use substances sometimes because they want reward, but sometimes because they're looking for emotional relief. And it's been known for a good while, this before the opiate epidemic, just let's say during the cocaine epidemic of the 80s. Of course, marijuana has been around in the majority culture strongly for over 50 years now, that one is more likely to have a drug addiction diagnosis in a city of 3,000 or under than a city of 200,000 or greater. That came out of the Center for Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University in a study a number of years ago on rural addiction. There's all sorts of hypotheses that sociologists have about there's not opportunities for recreation. So many kids get into alcohol at young ages in rural communities. There's nothing to do but go to the bar or go drink at the gravel pit or what have you. It's actually really complicated. I'm not going to pretend that I really know the answer to this, but you've certainly heard a lot of people talk about some sort of correlations between the Rust Belt and loss of manufacturing jobs, economic despair, and you've heard these things about, you know, did this propel President Trump into the White House and all sorts of things, but there seem to be some possible demographic overlaps between rural poverty, rural low economic opportunity, heavier substance use, opioids, and death. the epicenter of opioid epidemic, even when it began as a pill problem, was Appalachia, was Western Virginia, Southwestern Virginia, the state of West Virginia, Southeastern Kentucky. Still, nobody has outpaced those areas, even bleeding into Southeastern Ohio, as being the heaviest rates. Charleston, West Virginia, the state capital, has the highest rates of death. I mean, it's just tragic. But I think I should stop and leave this to the anthropologists and the sociologists to figure out some of this. You asked earlier in one of your things about, asking listeners to call in. What is your opinion about a criminal justice approach? And really, if you ask judges, prosecutors, police, jailers, is locking them up the solution? They will tell you, please, no, we need a broad public health approach to this. And some of the talk we heard out of the president yesterday is very ancient thinking, and it's not that helpful. And that's why it was so disappointing. I would have hoped that he would have been better briefed, better aware of what the challenges we face are. I think Governor Christie has a much better idea than what the president at least showed in his remarks yesterday at his press conference yesterday afternoon.
Let's get our callers in on this. We've got Don with us first in northern Wisconsin. Don, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to share?
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I was written a prescription for MS Cotton every day for every month for almost 19 years for chronic pain. And December 1st of last year, I was just pulled off of them with no help whatsoever, no phone number to call for support, nothing. And it's just broken me. I have a lot of lasting effects from floundering for 2.5 months like that, because I didn't have anyone to call even about my withdrawals. I just kind of got see ya, wouldn't want to be ya from from the doctors.
Don, thank you so much for calling, and I can hear your voice how it's affected you. And is this the flip side, Dr. Miller, that some people who have had this prescription, now that there may be some consciousness, some awareness that the prescriptions can be a gateway to opioid abuse and that's being dialed back, are people sometimes who, depending on these prescriptions, are they suffering like Don?
Many are, and what happened to your caller should not have happened. It's not the way to go. We have no idea if your caller has addiction. We have no idea. We know that she was exposed to opioids for chronic pain for years and developed a significant physical dependence, and her brain changed, and she may be having all sorts of aspects of withdrawal, including a lot of emotional withdrawal because of what it does to dopamine systems in the brain. The approaches for how to keep another generation of developing addiction to prescription pain pills are not the same as the approaches to dealing with all the people who are on high-dose opiates now as a result of some of the misguided education to physicians over the last 2+ decades. And doctors who prescribed to this woman, your caller, were doing what they were taught to do in education courses. And they were doing what even the licensing board said was the appropriate thing to do. And now the licensing boards have different views, and the education is changing, and we realize there was a lot of misinformation that was put out there. And we need to not use the clinical approaches for chronic pain and to opioid prescribing that were used at the beginning of this century, beginning in the last few years of the 1990s. So we need to change the way we deal with chronic pain, but that's not helping this woman. And she needed to have her dosage adjusted, tapered, possibly even maintained. And to cut her off abruptly was not good medical practice and not humane. So I'm concerned, but yes, this is what can happen. And just broadly, physicians are not as well educated as they need to be. Hope your doctors would know everything.
Dr. Miller, we've got a lot of interference on your phone line there, so I'm going to go to a caller and see if that clears up here. Melissa is next with us in Green Bay. Melissa, hi.
Hi. Hi. I am so happy to be talking to you, and I am so sorry to the last caller. I had not a terrific experience in recovery, but I am in recovery. I've got 30 days clean. And,
congratulations.
I went to Brown Deer, Rogers and Brown Deer, and detoxed. And while there, I was put on Suboxone. And without the Suboxone and my meetings working the steps and my IOP classes, I don't know that I could have stayed clean for the last 30 days.
Melissa, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
No, thank you so much for calling and for sharing your experiences, and thanks to Don. And appreciate everyone's calls. If you'd like to continue the conversation, please keep it going over on the Central Time Facebook page. And Dr. Miller, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, I was very, very glad to have the opportunity, and you have a wonderful program, and thanks to your listeners as well.
All right, thanks so much. Dr. Mike Miller, Medical Director of the Harrington Recovery Center at Rogers Memorial Hospital in Oconomowoc, and he joined us today to talk about the President's call to address the opioid crisis in states across the country, and taking a look there also at how opioids have affected Wisconsin, looking at different approaches the President has opted not to declare a state of emergency when it comes to opioids, looking at addressing it through different avenues. And again, we love hearing your experiences. If this is something that's touched your life, has touched the life of a friend or a family member, tell us what you think. And what do you think about the President's response? You can let us know over on the Central Time Facebook page.